Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Oh, hello. Sorry to burst in on you like this. Okay, if we stop here for a bit? That's right, baby. It's a new episode of Cap Cracking Back On with Series 4, and I'm joined by my eminently wonderful and beautiful co-host.
Damla, hey,
yeah,
that's me.
Yeah, I thought, you know.
That's me.
Don't, you know, soak in the compliments for too long. I'll make you say your own name.
Honestly, oh, girly.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that. That really pepped me. That put a pep in my step.
You're welcome.
You're all right, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to introduce me either. Hi, I'm Elliot.
That's Elliot. Yeah. I'm Damla, and
yeah,
we're here.
And it's a mess. Oh, no introduction necessary. I believe that's why. But yeah, how are you doing?
I'm sick again, which is so
nice.
So very typical of me. But you know what? No, you know what? I'm actually all right. I'm actually okay. I've been looking forward to this all day. Truly the highlight of my week, my life.
Rolling into Easter.
Yeah, at the time of recording. Rolling into Easter with much chocolate and, you know, hot cross bunneroonies.
And Doctor Who news, probably.
You know, the as we are recording at the moment, a few days ago, the Series 14 / Series 1 / reboot trailer was released. And, oh my God, fun times. Such fun.
Yeah.
But how are you? How are you, babe? How are you doing? How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm not sick, which is amazing.
We love that because you're the same as me, just back-to-back illness.
Yeah, I did worry that I was getting sick.
Yeah.
I saw my nephew last weekend.
Oh, cute.
And I kissed him goodbye, and then the car ride, I was like a sore throat. I was like, if he's got a cold and he's just like transferred it to me and it's like quick acting, I'm gonna be livid. But no, it turns out I don't know. Just was one of those things. I'm fine.
Just a little scratchy throat. Just a little scratchy throat.
Yeah. Yay! Just a little scratch. Little scratchy throats. Dry lips. You know, who cares? Get a bit of chapstick and we're all fine.
We're all good on that front. We are moisturised and puckered and ready to go. I've had enough.
Stop the count.
Cut the cameras, dead ass. Literally. But you know what? If you're a Patreon, the cameras won't be cut because you can watch us visually on patreon.com. Show me the money, bitch.
Show me the money.
Oh my god. Sorry. Wow. Anyway. I hope you can tell that this episode is going to be fucking fun times, babe, because... Geez.
Never seen it.
Yeah. Never seen it.
I appreciate your candor. Bring me on with a little happier music.
Oh, my God. Hey, cheer up. Lighten up.
Oh, it's a lovely day here in England.
We love the Alison Hammond Blade Runner interview. And if you don't know what we're talking about, for shame, because that is my Roman Empire. But anyway, before we continue choking on air, Elliot, hun, babes.
Yeah.
Is the sack ready? Is the 3-mil sack ready to be opened and explored today?
I'm puckered and I've got my sack out. Jesus Christ.
Let's explore and circumnavigate this sack.
You wouldn't be the first. yes, we have 3 males, and I'm going to blast through them very quickly and stop referencing things that I like. no, of course, they're all from lovely, I'm sure, listeners. Maybe viewers, if they subscribe to the podcast on Patreon.
All we're going to do is plug the Patreon until the end of time, because...
yeah, and when we get to the end of time, we're going to keep plugging it as well.
That's exactly.
To the episode.
Exactly. Yeah! We never met! Yeah!
Oh, dear. The first email goes as follows. Hello, Davila and Elia. I just wanted to say hi and thank you for doing the podcast. I used to watch Doctor Who back in the Matt Smith era, but fell off during the Capaldi run. Recently, Magic the Gathering did a collab with Doctor Who to create cards for the game, and it reignited my love of the series. Currently on Series 7, and I found your podcast while looking for something to listen to that was Doctor Who related while on night shifts. So it's been a blast. I'm not caught up yet, but I've just finished your Series 2 stuff. I might not agree with every opinion of yours, but I still really enjoy what you have to say, and you've offered some interesting insights I hadn't thought of. A question for you both. What is your favourite creature design in the show? Not from how they're designed in terms of story elements, but just how they look, sound, or behave. One small thing is I know you love the Cybermen. They are my personal favourite. Elliot has to pick something else.
I love that they know you. They know you so well.
Your friend all the way from Canada, Sam.
Sam!
Yeah, P.S. Very happy to have found your podcast because the only person I know who has watched the show and doesn't care about it anymore, so I have a very limited pool of people to discuss it with. Well, we're happy to be your pool, Sam.
Sam, what a great question. I think for me, and this is totally not because it's my favourite episode of the show, but I really do love the design of the Reapers. I think it's really, really interesting and cool, and I think they're great. And I think I love that they've not appeared again. I think that's really interesting. I'd love them to appear again, actually. Honestly, I would. I think that'd be really cool. Because, I just think their design is sick. It's sick. It's fucking sick. what about you, babe?
I would say it's a... we'll go for new series.
Yeah.
And it's a close... tie between. I'm gonna cheat and say that possessed Toby Zed counts as a creature because
go on then.
But if you're gonna be like, ugh, not a creature, then it's the Empress of the Arachnos.
Oh Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah. That's my best friend. That's my fucking best friend. My children! Slay, honestly. I love that. I love that question. Thank you so much, Sam.
And our next email goes as follows. Hello, Elliot and Daniel. I've spoken to you guys a few times via Instagram DM, which you very graciously responded to. But I finally finished all of Cap, and I'm deeply upset. I started listening about a month ago, and I've been listening non-stop whilst doing everything. I can't tell you how much. A month, yeah. A month.
Wow.
Wow, I know. Impressive. I wouldn't listen to us for a month. I can't tell you how much of a comfort it is to know that when I have to do tasks I don't enjoy, cleaning dishes, shopping, driving, I have you guys to listen to. It's not only made these tasks bearable, but now I can actually look forward to them. My mum is surprised at how much I've been cleaning lately because I love having something to do while listening. I genuinely don't know what I'm going to do with my life now that I've caught up. I only have one episode of Fortnite to keep me going. Well, you'll just have to only be clean once a fortnight.
or re-listen and get us that engagement, you know?
Yeah, just listen to the like TikToks on repeat. The past month or so has been really so much more enjoyable and comforting having you guys in my ears pretty much every day. I know you get this a lot, but you guys are literally my comfort podcast, just like how Doctor Who is all our comfort show. Sorry, I had to pick it up. I've got to read it because they put it in the email. So very happy for this to be read out on the pod. Honestly, listening to anything in Elliot's voice is an absolute treat. So the more the better, I say.
Agreed. I totally agree.
Thank you. As always, I give you air from my lungs. Ever since my family and I watched this years ago, we've been quoting it to each other on a pretty much daily basis, so I'm glad you get as much joy out of saying it as we do. We didn't rip it off from your family, I promise. and that is from Maddie Sheher.
Maddie, thank you so much for that lovely email. That's really sweet. Honestly, that was really sweet. Thank you.
Thanks, Maddie. And our final email goes as follows. And this is just a bit of fun. Fun for the family. Hello. I'm literally drunk emailing you. If you do read this out, please don't use my real name so my parents and friends don't judge me. Call me Kevin or something. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Kev.
I love the podcast, and even when I disagree with your opinions, I never feel like I'm being judged or patronised. By the way, the main reason I'm emailing is because at the 25 minutes and 10 seconds into the giggle, David Tennant 100% says, oh fuck, and they've left it in the televised version, am I just hearing things? Well, you are drunk, and I haven't fact-checked this, so...
Sure!
Sure.
We're going to say yes.
Do some live research. Why
are you going to do live research? Okay.
I'm going to do live. I'm doing live research.
Research, live research...
I don't know, it's quite low in the mix. He definitely makes a frustrated f sound.
Oh.
So, you know.
Maybe we're going to say yes. We're going to say David Tennant swore. Yeah.
We're going to say Kevin, drunk Kevin, that maybe you're right.
Maybe you are correct. Thanks, Kev.
Thanks,
Kev. My old chum.
If that's who you really are. That's all the bloody emails you got in the bloody world.
Oh my goodness.
Well, that was three emails. Thank you again to everybody who emailed in. Of course, we'll get your patented shout out at the end of the show. We really appreciate it. But for now, let's just get into the... Hey, who turned out the lights?
Ha-ha!
Ha-ha! Podcast, patreon.com.
If you want to see that gag in real time.
If you want to see my terrifying face lit by the computer. Roll credits.
Roll the fucking credits.
So, as you may have been able to tell from our very involved and mildly funny joke up top today, we are talking about, oh god, episode something of series 4 of Doctor Who. I haven't actually
episode 8, isn't it?
Episode 8, I keep forgetting to include that bit. Could do some research, don't really want to. I've already done that. Anyway, it's fine. It was broadcast on the 31st of May 2008. It's called Silence in the Library, it's directed by A. Ross Lynn, and it's written by my mortal enemy, as I've just got him written here, Moffat.
Moffat!
Moffat!
Now, listen. Not my mortal enemy.
No, just mine.
Just Elliot's, and we will get into that today. Don't you worry.
Yeah. He's writing for Ruby Sunday and nothing feels good in the world anymore.
Hey, let's give him a chance. But before we give him a chance, in this episode,
yeah.
I want to know something. I genuinely want to know something because this is really fucking important. This is really
Lay
important.
It on me.
This question that I have for you right now is so vital that you answer that I could possibly be killed by flesh-eating
monsters. The immortal
monsters.
Words of Abba, lay all your love on me. It's fine.
So the question is, my friend, what is this episode about? Because I know what IMDb thinks it's about. I know what Google thinks it's about. I know what Wikipedia thinks it's about. Hell. I know what Riversong thinks it's about. But I want to know what you think it's about.
Look, I for once, I've actually prepped this.
Mm.
Wow. So you're not
wow.
off the cuff, wow. off the cuff comedy.
Wow. Imagine.
Basically,
all the people. Anyway,
basically, if you're going on a life or death archaeological mission to find survivors of a sort of potential disaster.
Yeah.
You're going to need more than chicken drumsticks and a salad.
Do you know what I mean?
That is measly. It's not even a good salad. It's like a sort of Tesco, you know,
it's
like mixed
fully
leaf.
A mixed leaf bag in a Tupperware with some
with no
roasted
dressing.
Fucking chicken that looks dry as fuck.
Yeah, honestly. See, I thought the opposite. I thought it looked almost too disgustingly wet, like it's just been gotten out of a fridge, you know.
It's dry but wet at the same time. Disgusting, disgusting.
Terrible, a terrible lunch.
I actually hear that, you know. Like, where's the... So for me, in my opinion, a salad is completed by a grain of some kind, with a little bit of dressing. You've got to have a little dressing.
I'm talking croutons.
I'm talking avocado.
Yeah. Bacon.
Feta cheese.
Chicken. You know? Dressing. Balsamic vinegar.
Salt and pepper!
You're going to need... You know, and that's not still enough for lunch, you know?
Fully.
Bag of crisps.
A little chocky bar on the side.
Little, yeah, maybe a penguin.
Maybe a little, you know, a little soft drink beverage. A meal deal would be better than that dry ass, nasty salad. But anyway, what do I think it's about?
Yeah, come on.
Come on, let's get going. Let's go. For me, it's simply that books are that bitch. I love a book.
Books.
Books. Books. Ow, just hit my finger. Got really excited. Books, guys, books.
Books.
You know, whether that be physical, whether that be a Kindle, whether that be an ebook, whether
audio.
That be an audiobook. And yes, audiobooks are reading because we're not dickheads on this podcast.
Yeah.
Because it is reading, okay? But that's by the by. Now,
listen to my audiobooks.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of audiobooks, this episode is sponsored by no one. Ha! Tricked.
But Audible, get in touch.
I'm just making the fact that we want money a brand. We're part of this show. It's a brand
it's
of this show.
Funny, and if you don't like it, I don't like you.
But okay. So let's just get this out of the way right up top, right up at the tippity top.
Yeah.
Elliot, my dear.
Hello.
So it's known on this podcast, and if you don't know, then you clearly haven't been listening close enough. You're not the biggest fan of Stephen Moffat. And I like Steve. My boy Steve. I really do like him. But he does also... I don't love everything he's done. I'm very much in the middle. I'm in the middle with Moffat because I'm like... I think you're a very talented individual. I think you're a very good writer. But then there's times where you just... You really lose me, babes. You lose me. It's not giving. It's a little bit problematic. It's a little bit messy. Let's rein it in. Like, that's where I'm sitting. You're very much on the end of... You produce good things. Rarely. It just doesn't work for me.
Yeah, like, I don't think that... you know, I don't think it ever will. And I think that, like, I'm not so blinded by, you know, rage It's not even raised me, normally. I'm not so blinded by dislike that I'm ever going to be like, this is objectively terrible.
Yeah.
I get what people get out of this and what people get out of Empty Child, The Doctor Dances, you know, like, and the reason I'm not mentioning Blink is because I actually, you know, I quite enjoy Blink.
Yeah.
You know, I like it. But, like, I understand what people get out of it.
Yeah.
I just don't get that out of it. And the way I have explained it.
Yeah.
At the start of my notes,
yeah,
is that like I hate the development of like catchphrases.
Yeah.
So like the word spoilers to me, even out of the context of Doctor Who, has become like nails on a chalkboard. I hear it and it just kind of makes me go ugh, and I feel like that's a lot of Moffat stuff for me. Is hearing bits of it trying desperately to be quirky or fun or whatever.
Yeah.
And it feels like nails down chalkboard. I can feel the effort going into it. And you know, I don't think this is not bad. This is not bad at all. Like I'm not gonna pretend that this is awful. It's really not for me. This story, this two-parter is not for me. But I'm not gonna be like, this is a logical case for why this is a terrible episode. It's not. It's competent. It's very well, you know, it's very well put together. It's actually very well constructed.
Yeah.
Just don't like it doesn't work for me because it's not my style, really.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. But with that polite disclaimer out of the way, I will get into more hyperbolic lampooning of the Scottish Beast's awful, woeful writing because it's fun to play a character. But I want you to, yeah, I want people to know that I'm not, you know.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. We know what you're saying.
Actually very reasoned, actually very kind, you know. So if I met Stephen Moffat in real life, it'd be very nice, and I'd tell him that he's very talented because, yeah, he clearly is.
Yeah,
but
it's not for you.
Not for me.
And that's
not for me.
I'm sorry. That's so valid. Like you're allowed for something to not be for you. You know.
Yeah, the people don't like. Yeah, you know, people don't like Russell T. Davies stuff. People don't like the
Chibnall,
the campiness. I get it, but the campiness works. You know, for me. Someone the other day was saying, you know, like, oh, God, I hope you don't want those people to, like, love monsters and use the excuse that it's camp. You know what? It is camp and you're boring. You're tacky and
perfect.
I hate you.
But, yeah, no, I think it's really important to just kind of, because we do get a lot of, like, people know us when you listen to us, like, the audience, the listeners, you lot at home, you know that we're not the most pro Moffat podcast out there. Mm. But this is where we start to differ. And this is why I bring this up, because
mm-hmm.
now is the point where it becomes a part of the conversation, because this is where Stephen puts a thread in this episode that will continue for years to come, which I think he does very effectively. I'm not going to lie to you. I think Stephen ate. And I'm not going to lie. I think he took this episode and he went, I did that. I really enjoy this two-parter quite a bit. I think it's so interesting, and I'll get into more reasons why it's interesting in a little bit.
I mean, it's not, you know, the confines of this episode, not the sort of, I guess, the grounds to discuss the continuing saga of River Song, you know, because there's so much. I think that I like Alex Kingston a lot.
Oh my God, we'll get to that.
But,
oh my God.
Like,
oh my God.
Series sort of six, especially. She and like the later half of series five, she definitely takes away from the series more than she adds to it.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, do you
know
what?
And it all starts here.
This is the thing. We're going to talk a lot about River in this episode, I feel like, because this is where she begins. This is her first episode, but also her last episode.
Yeah.
In many ways.
Get it? It's smart.
No, but here's the thing, because it is, and I really like it, and I'm going to talk about why. I think one of my favourite things Stephen's ever done with his writing is what he's done with the Doctor and River's timeline and their story. Personally, for me, for little old me, this girly pop right here, I fucking eat this shit up. Num, 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 num. Love that, love
yeah,
that, love
should,
that.
You should read The Time Traveller's Wife, because it's all Stephen Moffat can make.
No, look, we've discussed this. We know this. We agree that he needs to fucking put that book down. All right? You've done the remake now on HBO, whatever the fuck it was. Leave it alone. And I will say, casting Theo James in, that was fucking clever, because I will probably watch it at some point, because oh my God. But that's by the by. I just think, honestly, this is one of my favourite things that he's ever done in his writing. I just, it tugs at my heartstrings. It really makes me, it gags me every fucking time. Like, for me, what it does in this episode, because obviously we're only talking about this episode today, is there's obviously was a discussion between Stephen and Russell. There must have been, where it was like, you know, we know Stephen's going to be back in some capacity. And because it would be, to me, it'd be a bit weird if he just introduced this character that was like, you know me and you're going to get to know me in the future, in your future, but my past.
I do kind of wonder about this because, like,
yeah,
it wasn't decided. I don't think it wasn't decided at this point that Russell wasn't going to stay on.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think, like, could it be might wrong. Have been, but yeah, but I, even then, I don't think Moffat had taken up the job yet, because there was still quite, you know, there was a lot of him maybe staying on for series 5, so yeah, I don't know, it feels strange that, yeah, there's a character introduced for his series.
Yeah, that's
through this.
That's something I'd like to discuss and further ruminate on, but if anyone knows and knows the answer to this, or they've heard it in an interview or something, I don't know, let me know. Let us know.
I've not read all of The Writer's Tale yet, so...
Neither have I. We will be at some point, who knows? What? What was so magical, but also so sad, but also so bittersweet and so iconic, is that this is the first time they meet and the last time they meet. In many ways. And I think it's beautiful and I think it's amazing and I love it so much. I literally love it so much. I can't stress enough how much I fucking love it. And I think what really highlights this and really just does it for me is Alex Kingston's performance. Now, I need you to all put some respect on my girl's name, all right, yeah? Alex Kingston, that's my best friend. That's my mother. That's my father. That's my sister. That's my brother. That is my girl, okay? I love Alex Kingston so much. When I was younger, okay, when I was a teenager, nay, a child, I didn't understand River. I actually didn't like River for a long time. I don't know about you, but the first time I saw River, like in this episode, I thought she was fine.
Don't.
No, you're not a fan?
I mean, no, yes and no. I feel like, you know, people who have listened to our Christmas special know how much I like Husband's River Song.
Oh, yeah.
I like her when she's used... I like her when she's used well and when she's not overly, you know, Moffatted.
Yeah.
You know, and then all the stuff with Melody and stuff like... Mel's. It's all that stuff I find really boring.
Yeah,
and
all
wanky,
that stuff we
like,
don't talk about. We don't talk about that.
When she just sort of randomly turns up, like, I really like her in The Angels Take Manhattan. Yeah, all the stuff with Melody Malone. I think all that is really cool. I prefer when she shows up maybe once or twice a series and you get to have same. Like a little fun. I don't like it when she's a full-time companion, basically.
Completely, completely agree. For me, this is one of my favourite River moments that we get throughout the whole show, because I sit with you in that camp where it's like, she works best when she's here now and then. When she's there for multiple episodes, it doesn't work for me, personally. But yeah, Alex Kingston's performance, I mean, at this point especially, I think it's really impressive because at this point, for her as an actress, there's a lot of fake context. Like, she's looking back on stuff that has happened at that point when it hasn't happened,
yeah.
You know?
Wondering how much of that's been fleshed out by Stephen Moffat at that point as well.
Exactly, but yeah, exactly. And it's like, I just think her eyes, just her face, her facial expressions, when she's like, you're doing a good job of pretending that you don't know me. And he's like, yeah, I don't know you. And she just like looks at him like, oh my God. Because the realization is, I'm going to die today. Oh God. And then all these thoughts because of all the stuff we now know. Hindsight is mad. Watching this episode back, hindsight is a madness. I can't even lie. It's a madness. And I just think she is so powerful because it didn't even happen yet. None of the series 5, series 6, series 7 hadn't happened yet. And she was able to convey all of this potential stuff that could happen. And it just works so well. Like, it's all coming together really beautifully. And I think it's really effective. And I really love it. And I love her. And I love her so much.
Can I quickly, though, just surmise, it'll take about 30 seconds, why I dislike it. And it's not just because I'm like, oh, I hear River Song. I don't like, and part of the problem I have with Stephen Moffat is I think Doctor Who needlessly ties itself in knots when you start thinking about the logics of time travel. And he thinks he's so smart. I'm not saying he's not intelligent, but like, thinks he's really smart. and starts trying to make, you know, a show about, like, the interconnecting timelines of time travel, and it just makes it so needlessly tired and complicated.
Yeah.
And I think Doctor Who works best when the time travel is not taken seriously. It's just a framing device upon which to kind of place a story. Like, it's, I just don't like it. I don't like it when it gets into the weeds about time travel, because once you start thinking about time travel logically, none of it works at all.
Well, no, this is it. I actually, do you know what? I actually have to agree with you on this.
But it starts here.
It does start here. And this is what's interesting, is because I actually hear you. I hear you and I agree with you. It just, for me, I find the storyline with the Doctor and River is as complicated as I think it should get with the time travel thing. Like, everything else that he does, as you know, as the listeners know, if you've been listening to his podcast, that's when it starts getting a bit topsy-turvy, wibbly-wobbly in areas. It's in different areas that I don't like to go to.
It's why I like you know, Russell T. Davis, a lot of people complain about his technobabble, but I like his technobabble because if you make it sound big and complicated, it's just like, oh yeah, we probably shouldn't explore that.
Yeah.
Like, I recently watched Bad Wolf Parting of the Ways.
Slay.
And that bit where Rose is like, you know, can you not just go back in time? And then, you know, the Doctor just kind of says something cool and important sounding about not being able to cross your own time streams. And there's no, doesn't give any reason for it, but because he's the character who's in charge, he's kind of go, oh, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
And you never bring that up again. But, you know.
We don't need to go into it, do you know what I mean?
But then you can go back to the Time War and, you know.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's when the timelines start getting all confused, which we will get to at a later date, because quite frankly, yeah, like, we don't have the time.
I still watch the Husbands of River Song, and occasionally it takes me about 10 minutes to go, okay, what's the timeline here?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Why doesn't she know who the Doctor is, but also knows who the Doctor is? What timeline is happening? I don't know, and I get all confused.
Yeah.
And please don't try and explain it. I don't care.
Yeah, it's like I get like that with the Doctor's age, because for so long it was like in RTD's era mainly, it was like he's 900, and now suddenly he's triple that age, or their Doctor is triple that age, and it's like, how did we get here? It's giving Paramore. It's actually giving Paramore. How did we get here? It's giving Twilight. It's giving Decode. But yeah, no, I'm with you on that. But okay. Let's get into it. So, something I want to say is the start of this episode always fucking takes me out. It takes me out so fucking hard with the green screen when the little girl is just floating, like literally dying dead.
Deceased. Once upon a time.
Once upon a time,
Once
Lord.
Once upon a time, Lord.
Do you know what I mean? I'm keeping it GC style. I'm keeping it green screen style. That's what they're doing. But yeah, so the little girl... on IMDb, she's called The Girl, but she's actually Charlotte Lux, which we don't realise until part two, but let's call her Charlotte. Let's call her Charlotte. The little girl Charlotte, Shazza. I really like the idea that, you know, obviously this isn't what... Stop shaking your head. Stop it. I really like the idea that we are supposedly in the mind of a little girl and the library is in the little girl's mind, which is obviously not the case. It's not the case whatsoever. But I like that kind of device, that framing of the episode. I think that's really, really fun. I always enjoy that. I know you don't like it. Let me finish. I just think it's really... No, I think it's really fun because every time I watch it, I'm like, oh, what? And I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, I've seen it how many times? Obviously, it's not in her mind.
I did kind of forget that she was the security camera.
I love that so much. I also love the design of the security camera. Side note, it's really cool. Yeah, it's really cool. We get that, and then we go into this like really beautiful space with this lovely wide of like the TARDIS in this kind of smoky room, and then you see the now they're specifically called courtesy nodes.
Nice.
/ face statues. I'm going to call them face statues because that's funny. and then this face statue turns around and is just like introducing them to the library. Because even though the Doctor introduces us to the library and it's like, why is it so quiet? Da, 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 da. Lovely. We go into this lovely room and it's like, it's actually a bit eerie. It's actually a bit mad. And then they just go, you know, this is the last message that was left. And it's the way this, like, face statue, I'm going to keep calling them face statues, just goes, run, for God's sake, run. You know, like, repeating it in that really monotone way. And then just, like, count the shadows. Oh! Every time they say count the shadows, I'm like,
yeah, when there's no emotion in telling someone that they're, like, gonna die, it's really it's real creepy.
It's really creepy. Yeah.
I need to sort of circumnavigate background to like my original point and kind of piggyback off a couple of things there.
Yeah.
So I don't like the inclusion of the child.
Okay, fair enough.
Not for any reason other than just like my big conceit here, and you can hate me.
Okay.
And everybody listening can hate me. A free punch, I don't mind. This does not need to be two parts in any universe. And it's so overstuffed with other things, mystery boxes and doohickeys, that it has to be two parts. But it shouldn't be. It should just be about the Vashta Narada.
Mm.
And introduce River Song, if you want to. It's fine.
Mm.
It shouldn't be about the Vashta Narada inside a library, which is inside a girl's head, but it's not the girl. She's the mainframe, and also there's face statues, and there's a liminal space that you go to. Oh, I know I'm jumping ahead to next week, but I'm thinking about all the fucking stuff at Donna next week. That Jesus Christ, boring as shit.
Oi! Like,
I just one.
Save it.
One,
save it. That's next week. Save it.
Yeah, it is boring as shit though. One solid. Little Amy's Choice, the pilot. One solid little episode that is about the Vashta Narada and have your fun time travel stuff in there. Because the stuff to do with the Vashta Narada is really good.
Mm-hmm.
It is creepy. They know how to make it creepy. That message is creepy. The Hey Who Turned Out the Lights is creepy.
Oh, yeah.
The Count the Shadows is creepy. There's a line that I like from later on that I'm not going to say because I might save it for another bit of the show. is creepy. I just think it's bogged down by someone, and I don't mind saying it, sniffing their own farts. You know, just like,
wow,
just going I can't, oh, me, you write a horror story, I can't write a horror story, I must write the most genius horror story. No, just shut the fuck up, just write something interesting. Stop being a clown. It's so annoying. It just really annoys me on such a fundamental level. It's so irritating.
Nah, this is going to be a fun one.
But, you know, it just irritates me. And there's lots of little things that irritate me.
That's fair enough. That's your journey.
That is the main one, I think, is this could be really good if it could focus. But instead, we're doing J.J. Abrams mystery boxes. This whole episode is just opening mystery boxes and until I don't care anymore. It's like a fucking episode of Deal or No Deal.
I feel like it would have been... No, I kind of hear you with that. Like, it does get a little bit confused and very messy. Like, let's keep it focused. Like,
episode, we lose the Vashta Narada as a concept and they're not relevant until the ending again. It's just...
I do think it would have been really interesting to just have like this. I mean, an abandoned library is cool as shit. It's fucking cool location. Because one, love books, as I mentioned up top. Two, support libraries, okay? Support libraries. But no, and also just I think the set is so great. And like the design.
Oh, the set is amazing. Considering it's probably just like a Cardiff Museum.
Well, that's the thing. And it's like, I think the production design is absolute top notch. Set is top notch.
The city, for some reason, always reminded me of Gridlock when they fly up to the...
Yeah, it looks quite similar, I'm not going to lie. It does look quite similar.
Abide with me.
Please stand for the national anthem.
Singing. Anyway.
But yeah, it's... I think, as much as, again, I am a fan of this two-parter... I do agree that if we kind of kept it more in the realm of the library and focus on the Vashta Narada, because guess what? The Vashta Narada, one of the best fucking creatures that's ever come up on this fucking show, in my great opinion. Idea. In my opinion.
Great idea. And then
I need them back. I need them back, actually.
Yeah, there is a audio adventure with, I want to say, hang on, I can check.
Live research.
I've got one of the volumes. They did volume one and volume two, which is the Fifth Doctor with Weeping Angels, the Sixth with J'Doon, Seven with Sycorax, and Eight with Sontarans.
That's really cool.
But let's have a look, because it must be volume two. There we are. So it's from volume two, which it looks like there's a dual... looks like five with the Rachnos, six with... I really can't tell what that picture's meant to be. And it looks like both four and eight have Vashta Narada stories.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think they're really, really, really good.
Don't know if they're any good, but, you know, because how do you do shadows in audio? But find out. You can buy those
on Big
wherever
Finish.
All good Big Finish audios are sold.
But yeah, I think they're just so good, like as a creature, and just the way they take over people, like the kind of, I don't know what it's called, I forget, the kind of life monitor, the little bars, the green bars on their suits. That whole idea with the suits and the life bars, that's not what they're called, but you know what I'm saying. You understand.
I know exactly what you mean.
It's just really sick, and it's just like with the helmet.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's being on and like when the lights go off, not the skeletons as much, but save it. I just think it's just really clever and really cool. Mm. Really cool design.
Yeah. I mean, like, good, you know, good peak Doctor Who, make children terrified of literal shadows, you know, like.
That's the thing, like, Stephen Moffat is so good at making the everyday so terrifying, which I think is really clever and really, really, like, really masterful.
I mean, disagree, I can't really think of another example of it, but I'm not going to get into that.
Well,
but
statues,
think...
just everyday statues. When I was younger, I used to look at statues and literally just stare at them. Fully.
I kind of forget that he does blink because it's good.
Wow.
Yeah. No, but like in my head...
No, holds barred.
In my head, blink is not very Moffat-y, you know?
It's not, to be
and
fair.
No, then I watch it and it's got a machine that goes ding and, you know, all that sort of stuff in it. You know, it's a little, you know... But like,
it's more contained, you know? So it's less Moffat-y in that way, yeah.
But, you know, yeah, and having the... Yeah. The you know, when you see, like, dust dancing in the sun, that's...
Yeah.
Tiny particles of Vashta Narada.
Yeah, exactly.
And they live on roadkill, but occasionally people do go into the dark and then never come out again.
So good. It's so good.
Yeah, and I just wish it was focused on.
I agree. No, I really do think there was a lack of focus on them as a creature.
Especially because in an episode's time, we get the best horror episode that the show's ever done.
Save it. Hey. You know it. Something I'd like to discuss, which I find so fucking c***y. Now, in hindsight. Hindsight is a beautiful thing. This episode benefits from hindsight, I have to say. Elliot's just losing it. It's losing it. Are you all right, hon? Are you okay?
I'm fine.
I mean, the first thing that's extremely c***y is River, obviously. But that goes without saying.
Correct.
Second of all, Elon Musk's ex is just here. She really be out here doing the most.
I think you mean the breakout star of St. Trinian's.
Exactly. Stream St. Trinian's 1 and 2. David Tennant's in the second one. Get to know. St. Trinian's, you will always be famous. You will always be famous to me.
I think...
Until you know, the end, St. Trinian's, you know?
Yeah. I think when you think back on movies that, you know, made you gay...
Oh my!
It's God. It's sort of up there, and I know you'll be like, oh "How can that have worked for you? You're male presenting, and yeah, but like, you know, I fancied all of them when I was age appropriate and watching it. But also, you know, I've been in a production of St. Trinian's. I was whatever the headmistress is called.
That's fucking iconic, babe.
Yeah,
that's really iconic. How did I never know? That's really iconic of you.
I can't remember what the headmistress is called. Miss Fritton, no.
Miss Fritton, yeah.
Yes, in the steps of Rupert Everett.
If anyone's interested, the person that I was the most in love with was the one who was called, was it the posh girl? Chelsea, the posh girl? She's head of the posh girls.
To be fair, I can't remember her name, but even Elon Musk's ex, I mean, to be fair, you know, she's very, very pretty.
Miss Evangelista is very pretty, and that's why people hate her. Apparently. Yeah. Tallulah Riley is the actress's name. She's actually very good in this episode. I'm going to say this now.
Three L's and an H.
Miss Evangelista, that's my girly. I love her character. I just loved that group dynamic. I'm not going to lie. I do think the group dynamic falls a little bit flat at times. I do think it could have been built on a bit more. Like, you know, for example, in like the Satan Pit, Impossible Planet, that ensemble is this one of the strongest ensembles I have ever seen on TV, and like in such a short amount of time as well. Even though it's two-parter, it's a short amount of time, but you really get a sense of their dynamic and who they are. In this one, not as much, but some of the people, like Miss Evangelista, you really get this really interesting insight into that dynamic through her eyes, because obviously she is kind of seen as a joke. And I just really, do you know what? I just really related to her, because she's just a girly trying to live her best life. She's really out here screaming because she has the same IQ as Plankton. That's fucking funny. That's really fucking funny. She's like, no, I was pleased. I just love her. And the way her character's kind of used to kind of show what the Vashta Narada are capable of is just so fucking sad. It's like...
I like Mr. Evangelista. Mm-hmm. I do like a character. I like Tallulah Riley.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I have mixed feelings on like how fair it is that she's the first one that gets killed, because if it's a little bit, you know, I mean, not that she needs a redemption arc where she proves herself that she's really smart, yeah, but she doesn't need to prove that she's intelligent to have worth. But you know what I mean? Like, I feel like a little bit maybe lacking in exploration there. For me, and I don't know if you noticed this, and I haven't really noticed it before, but I was quite surprised, and this is not normally my stomping ground, so apologies, you might feel differently, but Ten just has no reaction to her dying.
Yeah, I'm gonna...
He looks smug, like he's going, told you so.
Yeah.
And it's like, he should be like, and Donna doesn't really react either. They should be... Like, she kind of does a little bit, because she has obviously the conversation about, you know, is the kind woman there, and, you know, and she learns about what the consciousness thing is.
Yeah.
But, like, when they just first find her, and they're like, that is Miss Evangelista, there's no, you know, I'm waiting for the moment when they open the window and Scooty is...
Exactly.
Flying above. There's just nothing...
You know, I have to agree with you on that, actually, yeah.
Like, I was just like, look sad. Be sad. Say something. Speak in her defence. But, I mean, he can't, because he's not really done anything with her, but, you know.
But also, like, be the doctor. Nice. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Be compassionate. Donna should chastise them all for being dickheads to her.
That's the thing. I was going to say, I didn't notice that until you just said it, and now I'm like, oh, 100%.
Now you can't help but notice it.
Where is the... I mean, with Donna, I feel like she did react. But the thing that I completely agree with is that she would, and Donna would, she'd go, all of you lot, laughed at her and took the piss out of her, and now she's dead because you weren't listening to her. I hope you feel like crap, kind of thing. Like, you know, obviously it wouldn't be said in that way because I can't write dialogue. But like, you know, I feel like Donna would say that.
Yeah, there should have been a moment where she's like, you know, she's dead. She's dead. And, you know, you let her contribute nothing. Yeah.
On that note, with proper Dave, when he has the two shadows and he just goes, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, but you've got two shadows. Where's the... I feel like River was doing the heavy emotional lifting in that moment instead of the doctor, which was a little bit strange. Definitely. No, 100%. Now you've said it, I'm like, oh, fuck. Yeah, that's really weird. How strange. How very strange.
I think about all these reaction shots of Christopher Eccleston listening to people get blown away on Satellite 5 and Linda with a Y.
Yeah, I think what makes up for that slightly, again, there's these moments with River. Like, one of the best bits is when she's just like, she's got the diary out. And you're like, hold on a fucking minute. That diary looks like a TARDIS. What? Hold on.
What? I hate that. But okay.
I love it. Because the first time I saw it, I was like, bleh! Sorry? What? And then she's just like, you know, right, let's do some comparison. Have you done Jim the Fish? Is it Jim the Fish that she says? But whatever it was. And then he's just like, what in God's name is this woman talking about? But then the bit that always gags me, like, fully, like, by the throat, I can't breathe. I need resuscitation, is when she pulls out the sonic. Every time, every fucking time I watch this episode, I'm like, wah! Because also her sonic is fucking beautiful. And if anyone wants to send it to me, please do, because I really want it. I really want it.
I don't like the design of the Sonic.
You never like Sonics anyway, so I'm not surprised.
I don't. It's ugly. It's way too ugly.
I love it. I love it. It has a green setting. It has a red setting. And you know what? A girl needs options. Okay?
But if you want to send it to me, just so I download, please do.
No, honestly do, because then at least it's in my grasp in some way.
But you're right. I haven't liked a Sonic for decades.
You haven't.
Or a TARDIS.
Or anything. Series.
Yeah. Shit. Doctor's rubbish, isn't it? Bollocks.
But no, the Sonic reveal always shocks me. It's like, oh my God, I forgot about that. Flipping hell. I guess, though, even to just kind of counteract my own point, there is slightly too... And again, as much as I love it. There is slightly too many, like, oh, what? Moments. It's like, okay, let's get back to the point. Let's read it in.
Yeah, because... Yeah, it's like same with like, I don't, because we've spent so little time focusing on the Vash and Narada.
Yeah.
For me, a moment that doesn't work, but not the moment that doesn't work that I say for the end of the episode, but a moment that doesn't work is the Doctor sending Donna off.
That right. Because
I don't know. It's not. I just think it's not.
It's not giving Bad Wolf. It's not giving time of the ways. It's not
treated with any reverence. And she doesn't make it, and she disappears, and he doesn't realise until about 10 minutes later. It's like, no, this is not my doctor.
Because he wouldn't have... He would have immediately been like, yeah, no, you're so right. Like, emotionally, he's not there. He's actually not there.
Yeah.
And he's not.
He feels really out of character this episode.
Yeah, and you can't give the excuse of, like, oh, he was too preoccupied with the Vash Narada and no. This is the doctor we're talking about. There is always time for people.
Yeah, he's got time for emotional beats while he's building a Delta wave.
Do you know what I mean? I always found that really weird. And also, I think what would have been interesting is if you're going to send Donna off, would you not do it at the start of the episode? Surely?
Mm.
Because let me tell you something. This is why I can never be a companion. I'll tell you why I couldn't be a companion. The minute, and I mean the very second I heard that face statue go, count the shadows, I'd be like, right, I'll be in the TARDIS. Let me know when you're done, because this ain't for me. Okay, see you later. Because to me, that is really terrifying. And the run, for God's sake, run. Like, you know, that's when he would send Donna back to the TARDIS, no?
Again, it's lacking... I don't know why I keep being like, Bad Wolf, parting of the ways. But it is lacking a moment
That's the standard.
It is. It should be the standard for all Doctor Who.
Yeah.
But it is lacking that moment when Rose and the Doctor are building the Delta Way together.
Yeah.
And he's just like, you know, we could just like leave, right, if you wanted to.
Yeah.
We could just go. Let history take its course, you know, not get involved.
So good.
GC style, get out of it. Yeah. And she's like, well, no, it never even crossed my mind.
Yeah.
And he's like, and that's why I fucking love you.
Yeah, that's why you're my fucking favourite. But anyway.
But you're kind of missing, you know, and then you understand then why he has to send her away.
Mm-hmm.
But you're kind of missing that, you know. There should just be like a little bit where they have a sit down. Because there's that bit where Donna's like, you know, to River Song, she's like, who are you? Who are you? Why are you even saying, who are you?
Yeah.
And it's like, that feels kind of needless drama. And if we could take that moment that's given to them, maybe, you know, just have her sit with the Doctor and the Doctor be like, hey, so bloody, this is really dangerous.
Yeah.
You might die.
Yeah.
And I'm worried about that.
Yeah.
And then it kind of, I just...
It felt a bit like he wanted her out of the way.
Probably. Donna is too independent and strong-willed to be in a Stephen Moffat Ben script.
She's like, I'm out of here. I'm out of here.
At least she didn't pick up a gun and, you know, wear a low-cut top. I love her, you know, I love her, but like, as soon as she appears in this and she goes, hello, sweetie, I'm like, oh.
No, see, I thought that was a fucking slay. I was like, yes! And my favourite, though.
All that stuff.
My favourite is just, like, pretty boy with me.
No, hate it. I hate all the tropes. I hate sweetie. I hate pretty boy. I hate the, you know. Oh, I've dated androids. They're different. Oh, I don't find you attractive. It's just like, oh my.
Jesus Christ. I like it in doses, and what I mean by that is, what would make it effective? And sorry, this is me kind of talking about River as a whole, but just bear with me. It's important. I think when it's done in doses, it goes, I am a, you know, as a woman, I have full bodily autonomy and I enjoy being sexual and that's okay because that's something that's normal and allowed. What annoys me is that it's made like a personality trait. That's the issue. Yeah, that's the fine line. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the problem. It's the Moffat thing. It's the Joss Whedon thing, right? It's
like, yes.
There is no problem with women having sexuality and sexual agency in stories, yeah, but they underwrite them in every other aspect, but
yes,
because the kind of girl, you know, and I'm saying all this stuff is going to maybe sound like a fucking reactionary, but because the girl boss feminism side is there of being like, you know, I'm smart and sexy and capable, people see that and they don't realise that all the other things are being completely underwritten and not given attention to.
Absolutely,
and it's like, it's just sometimes River falls victim to that. So I think when she starts saying stuff like that, I start going, oh, and it just makes you think of just all the times where she's given no personality other than the fact that she wears lipstick and has boobs, and it's all just a bit, you know.
It's very,
just,
very
just
one
makes
note.
Me sad, you know, like, because he also gets way too many plaudits for writing strong female characters.
Yeah, this is the thing. So as a female myself...
Congratulations.
Exactly. The only point of view that I can comment from is my own. And my own is this. I, you know, Stephen's characters, and maybe we'll do a whole episode on it one day, because it fully could be its whole thing, and I would love to discuss it, because I think it's really important. But for me, it's like, again, if it's made into a personality trait and it's not actually expressing someone's view or like the way they are, it's not, there's a fine line, and he always goes into the realm of like, you know, and it's, he does write strong female characters and he's written some really great characters. Unfortunately though, he's done it in a way that is actually doing the opposite of what he's trying to do. And we'll get to that when we get to it. But
it's also just that thing as well that you fall into. And I know the irony of me critiquing it is, you know, not lost on me. But it's also that thing that you fall into of being like, you know, there's nothing inherently wrong with, you know, a woman being well-defined and being capable and having a sort of definable sexuality on screen and a sexuality that she embraces. All of these things don't make it less feminist, but he's a man in his 50s.
And he doesn't understand.
Yeah, there's a level of, you know, it's, yeah, It's kind of, and it's like, I'm not saying that only people who experience certain things can write for certain people, but it's kind of things that we start getting into with like some of the Chris Chibnall stuff about the, you know, the relationship with the Doctor and Yaz and things like that.
Yeah.
And you just kind of start going, just please let people who have lived this write it.
And I imagine get into the weeds of it, yeah.
River Song being written by a female writer just being a million times better.
That's something I'd love to see maybe in the future, because I'm sure River could return, and I'd love her to return with different writer present, because that is something that does bother me, and that's why I fully can't have, because the thing is, I think if River was written from a female perspective, genuinely, I think she would be my favourite, genuinely, and I say that with my whole chest, do you know what I'm saying? But I do think, yeah, we've said what we need to say. We'll keep it there because it will come up again, especially in series 6. Eek.
But at least, you know, her first, Hello, Sweetie, it might make me roll my eyes, but at least it gives us the moment from Husbands of River Song. So.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what it's all about. That episode is what it's all about. Also, yeah. Just to clarify, when we talk about Joss Whedon and Stephen Moffat, we're literally only comparing them in terms of the way they write female characters.
Not as people. No, of course not.
Joss Whedon's
done actual, tangible, terrible things.
Stephen hasn't,
as far as we know.
But the way they
approach writing women, it's very much identical.
Yeah. Just to clarify that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not implying anything about Stephen Moffat other than that he's maybe a hack. And if that's the worst I can say about him, I think we got off lightly.
Yeah, exactly. so I want to talk about the cliffhanger. The cliffhanger is a serve. And I'll tell you why it's a serve. Because it's perfect mix of camp and actually shocking.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good reveal, but you're right, it is also
like
high camp.
Like Donna Noble has served. Donna Noble did that, you know? Like
Donna Noble has left no crumbs.
Yeah. Like it's very funny, but also really serious, and it's so perfect. It's just that perfect balance. And also I will say, this is the one moment where the Doctor really was doctoring, was just the look on his face. He just couldn't even say anything. He was just like, Donna, oh my God.
Also, I just remembered, and this probably would have been relevant at the top of the show.
No, that's all right. We love chaos. We do. We thrive in chaos.
But, so going forward, whenever we talk about series 4, including the specials, I am now watching them on the newly released upscaled Blu-ray set.
Uh-huh.
So I will keep tabs on things much like I did with the Blu-ray copies of the 60th and the Church on Ruby Road.
Yeah.
I don't think there's much to be gleaned from them. I just think it's fun for people to know. Why didn't I say that with Unicorn and the Wasp? It's because I watched it on BBC iPlayer with a friend, and I also watched it about 2 weeks before we recorded the episode because I refused to watch it more than once.
Yeah, same energy.
This is the first time recording an episode where I've used that Series 1 to 4 box set.
Yeah,
so I just thought the people might like to know.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, we've said this before, like, I think it's really good to know like the different kind of ways you can consume the show, and especially, you know, physical media. We always support physical media.
Yeah, I always watch them on Blu-ray, but I now have the complete 1 to 4, including special set now, so.
Be jealous. Really want it, except the packaging isn't good. But anyway, but essentially, I think the episode, kind of just wrapping up our general thoughts here, I think it sets up a lot of really interesting stuff, and I think it pays off some of it in the next part, in my personal opinion, but we'll get to that next week!
Some of it does.
That's what I'm saying, yeah, some of it. But...
some of it.
I think there's some really interesting ideas here. Really interesting ideas here.
Yeah, and you know what I love?
What do you love?
The terminal keyboards are from Max. How fun.
The what?
Every time they went to type at a terminal, I was like, that's just the keyboard from a Mac.
Iconic.
Like white, they're that white and silver, you know.
Yeah.
Like, use them in media studies. Kind of, you know, yeah. I was like, fantastic.
Every time I saw that,
I was like, that's a Mac keyboard.
That was a bit of an oversight. But,
I know, Max are futuristic.
Actually, one last thing I want to say before we get into the wrap-up is Dr. Moon, right? So Dr. Moon comes more into it in part two.
Mm-hmm. Great name.
Such a good name. But something I especially loved is, you know, the whole time you think, again, personally, what I love with the whole, like, thinking it's in this girl's mind is, you know, you think, oh, he's just a therapist, whatever. But he comes in at the last minute and goes, oh, you thought. Oh, you thought. And just goes, by the way, everything you said is real. And, yeah, I'm just going to leave you with that. Going to leave you with that. Bye.
No, I like that. I like that moment. It's just just sort of goes up to him and is like, yeah, by the way, yeah, it's all real. Bye.
Yeah, see you later. Bye. It's like Mrs. It's like the version of Mrs. Flood. Ever seen a TARDIS before?
Never seen a library before.
Ever seen a library before? Ever seen a space statue before?
Oh, Merry Christmas, Abdul.
Okay, so now we are at the wrap up. And yes, I'm going to keep the from now on because I really enjoy doing it. This is where we talk about our standout moment. What didn't work?
Mm-hmm.
Our most doctory moment. Our best David Tennant pronunciation, aka Tennantiation, and our favourite quote. And then we give it a ranking out of five, a rating out of five. Mm. Elliot.
yes.
Elliot, you there. Stand to
Hello.
Attention. I want to know what your standout Momo is from Silence in the Library.
We have already said it, but it's a good moment that does effectively chill me, and it's the reveal that that guy has two shadows.
It's good.
I think because it kind of comes out of nowhere and is delivered in dialogue, it's just so, you know, you're kind of waiting for what he's going to say, and then just the, you know, oh, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, but you have two shadows.
Yeah.
Just makes me go, ooh.
Oh.
Creepy.
A little chill up the spine there.
Wow. Yeah, love it. good bit, done well. Right, you.
For me, it's the conversation with Miss Evangelista as she's ghosting. So, you know, she's asking, like, you know, is the kind woman there? And then Donna's just like, I'm here. And she's like, you know what I told you about? What, you know what I said? Just don't tell the others. They'll only laugh. And then she goes, I won't. And then she just keeps repeating, don't tell the others. They'll only laugh. And she goes, I can't see. It's just so effective. And it always makes me emosh. And it gives me chill. It's really creepy, man. Even though that skeleton is bad.
Oh, yeah. And so is that costume.
Yeah, we'll get to it. Hold on. Bear with. We'll get to it.
Okay. But can I just say?
Yeah.
I've also had a few pretty girls ghost me in my time.
Humor. Yeah, so that's my standout moment for sure. But Elliot, what didn't work? What didn't work in this episode?
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so so sorry because we've already discussed it. But
again,
anything? No.
No, you lost me.
Wow.
Oh, what are you ghosting?
No, it's from Cat in the Hat.
Oh, I've never seen it.
What?
Can you believe that? Can you actually believe that?
Brilliant. It's cinematic gold.
Oh, no, for sure, 100%. I mean, I totally believe you.
They have a cupcake-inator, which can make cupcakes out of anything. I'll get you. I'll make it look like a bloody accident. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to watch this movie.
It's basically any scene that involves Charlotte, or whatever we're calling her, the little girl.
Yeah. Oh, you don't?
Dislike.
Yeah, dislike.
Don't like. As soon as it cuts back to the really ugly 2008 house, I'm going, no.
Stop.
Get
Stop
me
doing
back.
That.
Take me back. I'm a star.
I'm a star.
I'm a five-star man. Anyway.
Christ. No, that's fair. I have two.
Yeah.
I'm going to say my silly one, then I'm going to say my serious one.
Okay, we'll do a silly one.
Oh, no, my silly girly pop one. My silly girly pop what didn't work moment is Donna in a dress over jeans again. Again, why are we doing my girl like this? It's so not it, man. It's so not it. It's giving frump. It's giving. I just can't.
She definitely got the worst out of, like, they didn't know how to dress Catherine Tate.
No, in Doctor Who, they did not know how to dress Catherine Tate when she was first in it in series 4. It's so unfair because you get looks with Rose, you know.
Yeah, she always looks good.
Like, Rose is
except
always...
in series 4.
Yeah, and, like, you know, Martha, even though her wardrobe was lacking, what she did wear was great.
Yeah.
But then with Donna, it's like they just didn't even try. And it's like, but why? Why? I mean, except for the costume in Journey's End and Stolen Earth. I mean, that fucking brown coat lives in my mind rent-free. Thank you very much.
Yeah. But, like, her outfit from the 60th anniversary has become more iconic than...
Oh, yeah.
Anything else.
Yeah, the little pink striped shirt moment. Love. Obsessed. But yeah, they just didn't know how to dress her, and it's really annoying. Like, a dress over jeans. I know this was 2008, but stop that shit. It's fucking embarrassing, and I've had enough.
It looks terrible.
It looks terrible. Anyway, that's my what didn't work, the first one. Second one is something I've already alluded to and mentioned, maybe. Oh, no, I did. The skeletons in the suits. I think the Vashti Narada would have looked way more effective if they just had the suit that was black, like the blacked out helmet. That would have been...
Because they were all shadowy inside.
Exactly. What, the skeleton just looks dumb as fuck. It's the teeth. Yeah. The teeth really give it away that it's a fake skeleton. Obviously, they weren't going to use a real one, but do you know what I mean? Like, it looked like a mould, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they're not great. I think especially the Miss Evangelista one looks particularly bad with the rib cage, I think.
Yeah. It's not...
Yeah. Just so the ripped up suit is not good.
Like, the bad skeleton in that moment... would have been fine. It's the fact that it was carried on into the costume for...
Yeah, Dave's thing, yeah.
Yeah, it just looks really silly. We'll say, though, I do enjoy my Vashti Narada figure a lot with the skeleton. That's very fun.
Yeah.
Love that.
Very ambassadors of death.
Yes. Elliot, what's your most Doctor-y moment, then, in this episode? There isn't that many.
I actually kind of forgot about that one, you know?
Because there isn't that many.
It's probably one choice and one choice only.
Yeah, go on.
And it's noticing that there's a little shop.
Oh, yeah.
Loving that there's a little shop. And to be fair, actually, I could also add that to my stand-up moment. I like that Donna uses little shop logic to figure out that they're near the end.
It's like girl math for the Doctor. Like,
No, it must be near the end because they make you go through the little shop to buy stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's true.
Genius. Yeah.
Because guess what? It works every time for me. I see a little tote bag, I'm buying the little tote bag. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. No, I love that there's a little shop in every series.
It's so good.
Only thing lacking from the 60th, no little shops.
Bring back the little shop. For me, I wrote two. So the first one was 10 complaining that he needs a bigger head because of all the stuff in his brain. Relatable. Relatable. But then the other thing is him not realizing that he's pretty boy, where it's just like cricket, and then Donna's like looking at him and he's like, oh, I'm pretty boy, and she's like, yes, and he's like, really? And Donna's like, well,
I do like the way she's like, well, I probably shouldn't have said that so quickly, but yes, of course you are.
Yeah, because they're besties.
She's kind of disgusted that she thinks he's pretty.
Yeah, no, I, you know, we've all been there. Babe, best pronunciation, give it to me.
It's... I can't remember the context of the scene.
Oh, okay, I thought you were going to say the one that I had. Never mind.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, go on, say your thing. No, for me, the only answer in this episode is when he goes, books!
I mean, you know, it's good.
Books.
I just got a kick out of, I can't remember the context of the scene. It's just when he's explaining what the Vashti Narada is. And she goes, not a foot, not a finger in the shadows.
I can't remember where that is either, but I know what you're talking about. It's good.
He really says finger. Ah. It's a foot, not a foot, not a finger.
Finger.
In the shadows.
At some point, best pronunciation is just going to be him going...
I really enjoyed... Again, I don't really have tons, but I did really enjoy you know, when they're talking about why the library's so quiet. Don says maybe it's a Sunday. Donna says, I never land on Sunday. Sundays are boring. And then I like the way that Donna says, maybe everyone's just really, really quiet. It's very sarcastic. It's very funny. Yeah. And I like the, of course, the Sunday, never landing on Sundays line kind of gets followed up on.
Yeah.
In Stolen Earth, Journey's End.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he's like, oh, it's a Saturday. Love a Saturday.
Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah. And of course, the Sundays are not boring. They're beautiful.
I don't like Sundays. But that's because...
I'm talking about Cherry. I'm talking about
Sundays. Oh, yeah, no, we're never talking about those girlies. Absolutely not.
Like a sweet treat.
You know it, baby. So, Snap, my favourite quote, the only favourite quote in this episode is, I never land on Sundays. Sundays are boring. Because I agree.
Sundays are boring.
Sundays are shit, man.
But the way that she's like, maybe everyone's really, really quiet, kind of reminds me of the, maybe Lucy's just a bit thick.
Oh, Rose Tyler, you'll always be famous, okay?
I miss Rose.
Fuck's sake. Anyway, out of five, we're not going to give. Because? Why?
We
save it to the end of the second part of every two-parter. Yeah, that's right. You've got to wait till
we remember.
Yeah, but most of the time we do that. So you got to wait till next week. Next week is when you'll find out what we rate each part and then give an overall rating for the two-parter. So you've got that to look forward to.
But yeah, just before we like head into the formal wrap-up, just scheduling-wise, just remind everybody. So this has come out. You're enjoying this. Next week, it's Forest of the Dead. Then it's Midnight. Then, after that, it's series 1, or series 14, depending on what you want to call it.
New Doctor Who, baby.
Madness. Absolute madness. It's a double premiere, so we'll figure that out. But you're going to be getting it, you know, live and kicking as it's coming. So enjoy that. But yeah, so that's how that's going to work. You got this episode, next week's episode, or next time's episode, sorry. Then you got the episode after it, you got Midnight. Then we're taking a break. You're getting all of Series 14 or Series 1. Then we're going back to do the three-part finale, Turn Left, Stolen Earth, Journey's End. Then the specials, maybe the Christmas specials smattered in between, who knows.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I just think it's important for everybody to know that's where we're standing at the moment. So we're going to be doing Series 14, and it's coming after we do the Midnight episode.
I know we say it all the time and it's become a running joke now, but genuinely, if you would like to get these episodes quicker, please go and support the Patreon. Honestly, we hate this bi-weekly schedule. I actually hate it. I'm going to say it. I'm going to speak my truth. Hate it. Hate it so much. But that is what we are able to physically do at the moment with because of work and things like that. But if we get more money, we can bring these to you quicker and we can record them quicker, which I would love because I love talking to you about this stuff.
Me too.
Imagine.
And we love talking to all of you.
Yeah, honestly. So please. But yeah, just wanted to reiterate that for the millionth time because got to push the Patreon. Patreon.com/ Come Along Pomp Podcast. Heard of her? Of course you have because we keep talking about it.
But that does bring the curtains down on another wonderful episode of the Come Along Pomp Podcast. We hope you had fun. We sure did. If you like what you heard and you want to support the show, you can do so over on Patreon, patreon.com/ Come Along Pond. Over there, you have multiple tiers to choose from, but if you want ad-free listening and you want the visuals, that's your one-stop shop. And every single person who's over there gets a lovely shout-out on the show. So River, Jason, Becca, Judson Smith, David Cummings, Lucy, Calvin, Felicity Skill, and Riley, Anna, Plantley, Clover, sorry about that, Jess Williams, Bumping Ernie, Lucy, Joe Dawson, Stephanie, Bex, Michelle Whitney, Ian French, Susie Williams, Beth McLeod, and Ruth Wald. They are all helping keep the lights on and keeping us happy and fed. We love all of you. However, you can also support the show by sending us an email if you want to be cool, like Sam, like Maddie, like Kevin. We will read your contributions out. But also, if you just want to give one-off donations, you don't want to spend money every month, we are on Ko-fi. That's ko-fi/ Come Along Pomp Podcast. All of this is linked in the show notes. You can find us over there. Some of you have been doing that since we actually got it back online, which has been really nice of you to do. So we really appreciate that.
Thank you.
You can show us the love on our social medias, tiktok.com/comealongpodcast. Over there, we post highlights and lowlights of the show in cute little TikTok forms. We've got a great community over there. And you can leave us a nice comment and share us with all of your friends and enemies. However, your one-stop shop to find information out about the show. If you want to know when the episodes of Series 14 are dropping, if you want to know when we're jumping back into Series 4, if you want to know what we're up to, if you want to send us a message, please make it nice. Instagram.com/comealongpodcast. You can't miss the same artwork everywhere. We post stories, you post reels, which are basically like TikToks, but better and on Instagram. We do reply to DMs, we strive to. We upload stories, we share news, and generally we have fun. There is a great community over there, and that is going to be the best place for you to get in touch with the show if you so want to. Everything I've said, every person I've listed, they're all going to be named in the show notes. Go check it out.
Yeah, man.
But with all of that being said, Damla, it's been lovely being joined by you this evening.
Same to you, my lovely, even though we have very varying opinions on the episode, but that's what makes it fun. That's what makes it fun.
And we've never had an argument.
Never. Not once. Ever.
No. Incidentally, it's been very lovely being joined by all of you at home as well.
And we give you air from our lungs. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Didn't know Austin Butler was here, the fuck?
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.